Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
But this week, we're continuing our look at Mark chapter 4. So if you've got your Bibles or your phones or your tablets or if you just have the whole thing memorized, you can turn in your Bible or in your mind to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at a story from Mark chapter 4. Last week, we actually started a sermon series that's going to take us through the whole month of August. We started it last week, this week, and for the next two, where we're just looking at this one single story from the life of Jesus. It's just this remarkable story where there's so many little nuggets for us to unpack. And so for this whole month, we're just going to be unpacking bits and pieces of this story. And the story begins, really the whole of Mark chapter 4, is Jesus teaching this large crowd. See, as the book of Mark opens and the first couple chapters unfold, Jesus becomes this sort of like famous miracle worker, where people hear all these incredible stories about this guy, Jesus, that if you bring him someone who's sick, they'll come back healthy. If you bring him someone who's blind, they'll come back able to see. If you bring him someone who can't walk, they'll come back able to walk. And because these stories are circulating about who Jesus is and what he can do, larger and larger and larger and larger crowds are beginning to gather around Jesus because they want to see these amazing things that he can do. But in Mark chapter 4, as this huge crowd gathers around, Jesus doesn't perform any miracles. Instead, he teaches them. And he spends the day teaching and preaching. All day long, out in the hot sun, he talks to this crowd, and he preaches and he teaches, and he spends all day out in the hot crowd, or out in the hot sun, teaching and preaching. And then as evening comes, Jesus finally wraps up his teaching and the day is finally coming to an end. Except that it's not. After a long day, Jesus has an idea. And he comes to his disciples and says, Hey guys, I've got an idea. Now, some of the most terrifying words in life can be when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've got an idea. I know that when my wonderful wife comes to me and says, I've got an idea, I know two things. It's going to be a wonderful idea, and it's going to take a lot of work. That when she comes, I've got an idea, I've got a wonderful idea. It's very, very rarely, let's sit on the couch and watch a movie. It's usually, I had this idea. How hard would it be to move this wall? How hard would it be to, that when people say, I've got an idea, sometimes it's the second half of that sentence can be a little scary. And Jesus comes to his disciples and he says that to them, hey guys, I've got an idea. I know it's been a long day. I know we've been out in the hot sun all day. I know I've been talking and talking and talking, and you've been doing your best to help care for this crowd of people, and it's been a long, hot day. It's finally over. I guess you'd probably just like to clean up and maybe go home, get something to eat, or at least go to bed. It's been a long day. But I've got an idea. And he says to them, how about instead of packing up and cleaning up and going to get some dinner and then ending our day, how about we sail across the entire Sea of Galilee right now? Well, what if we do that? I've got an idea. What if right now, instead of being done, what if we go for a big, long boat ride? Doesn't that sound like a ton of fun? And last week, we looked at how, despite the fact that this was Jesus' idea, that Jesus is the one who says, I've got an idea. Jesus is the one who gives the plan. And Jesus says, what I want you to do as followers of me is let's go across the lake. We talked about how, despite all of that being true, what happens immediately as they set sail across the lake is they run into a huge storm. And after this week, I think we all have a pretty good point of reference for what a huge storm looks like. Living in Airdrie, we were fortunate that we didn't get the gigantic hail that was forecasted. But when we saw the videos, you probably saw the videos in Calgary of siding getting ripped through. You drive down the road and you can tell people who were in Calgary when that storm happens because their windshields are just smashed. Maybe you saw the video of the roof of the Calgary airport not being there. That because of the storm, it was raining inside of the airport. We know and we have a context for what a big storm looks like. And if we had been caught outside in that storm with that hail and with the craziness, we probably would have been fearful for our lives. And what we see here is that's exactly what happens to the disciples. They run into this storm, and this storm is so big and it's so violent that even as professional fishermen who had lived their lives on this lake, this is what they did for a living. Many of them before they followed Jesus was they lived and worked and caught fish on this lake, that even these guys were terrified for their lives. They were afraid they were going to die. And so we talked about what that meant last week. What does it mean that when we follow Jesus, sometimes we're led right into a storm? And we looked at the idea that Jesus isn't caught off guard by the storm. But today I want to rewind just a touch. I want to go back over some of the same verses we looked at last week, but look at a little bit of a different perspective. So if we go to Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35, we'll read this. That day, when evening came, so at the end of the day, Jesus has been teaching all day, he said to his disciples, guys, I've got an idea. Let us go to the other side of the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I want to start today by looking at verse 36 and some interesting wording here and see what it might actually say to us. See, Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And then in verse 36, we read this, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. We read this interesting phrasing. They took him along just as he was inside of the boat. Now, perhaps I'm reading too much into these words from this passage this morning. Perhaps I'm pulling a little too hard on a thread. Sometimes you do that when you preach. That sometimes a phrase or a little something just jumps out at you and you kind of go on this journey from there. And so I want to talk to us, at least initially this morning, about this little phrase. And I'm not saying that this is what the disciples were doing, but I am saying that sometimes this is something we can do. Because we read that the disciples took him along. Sometimes, do we just take Jesus along for the ride? As followers of Jesus, sometimes do we say, fine, God, I'll obey you, but just come along and don't get in the way. Sometimes do we say, okay, God, you can come, but you better be good, and you better not get in the way, because I've got things I need to do. So yes, God, you can come, but don't get in my way. Do we just take him with us? Do we allow him to steer the boat? Or do we just say, I got the boat. You just come along. The disciples set out to where God had called them to go. But we read that they just brought Jesus along. How often in our lives are we just bringing Jesus along for the ride? Rather than really looking for Jesus to lead us in our lives. When we go to work, are we looking for Jesus' leading? Or do we just say, fine, God, you can come with me. Inside of our marriages, do we look at how we're supposed to treat our spouse? How we're supposed to treat our families? How we're supposed to treat our kids? Do we say, God, would you lead me? Or do we say, fine, God, you can come too. When we're at the grocery store, as we drive down the work, as we drive down the highway to work, as we spend our lives living in all of the different capacities that we have, and all the roles that we have in our lives, and all the different things we do, and the places we go, and all that we are as followers of Jesus. I mean, that's what we say we are, right? I'm a follower of Jesus. I follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. I am a follower of Jesus. But how often do we, instead of following Jesus, just invite him along for the ride? Where instead of looking for him to lead us, instead of saying, God, what would you have me do? God, what would you have me say? God, how would you have me respond? God, how would you have me feel? God, how can I show your love? How can I express your love? How can I leave people better than I found them? How can I have people saying to me and about me, there's something different about you. There's something different about the way you live. How can I, instead of just having, you know, God as a part, God, how can I have you in front? How often do we start our day off up and running and just trust that God will jump in? How often do we go through life where instead of following Jesus, we just trust that if God really, really wants to speak to us, that if God really, really wants to use us, that if God really, really wants to get our attention, that God, if he really, really needs us, he's free to interrupt. He's free to get my attention. He's free to jump in and make his presence known. But short of that, I'm just going to do what I do. And if God really wants me, he can like slap me in the head. He can make a big loud noise so I have to turn and look at him. But otherwise, I'm just bringing Jesus along. And if Jesus wants to contribute, that's on Jesus. How often do we just bring Jesus along for the ride? Now, one of the things that's always a challenge when you're preaching, and if you've never preached, maybe you've never dealt with this. If you have, maybe you have. But one of the things that happens a lot, and maybe you've had to indulge me for this, is sometimes as you're preaching, something really stands out to you. And what happens is you think to yourself, I think everybody needs to hear this. But sometimes it's just me who needs to hear it, and I hope that you're tracking. That you're not all like, that's not me. Wow, if that's true, you must, whoever this theoretical person you're talking about is, they must be a mess. That maybe some of us are like this. And I know for me, it just really spoke to my heart and my life of like, how often do I just bring Jesus along and just trust that if God needs me, He'll make it known. Tomorrow, my family, we're going to Callaway Park tomorrow. If you're going to Callaway Park, we'll see you. I'm going with my brother and his wife and their three kids, my nephews. And my plan for that day would not probably be to be like, hey, God, what do you have for me at Callaway Park? Now, as a good pastor and a good Christian, if God wants to use me at Callaway Park, God, I'm open. But I'm going on the roller coaster. And if he needs me, he can jump in and make. But how often am I just bringing God along for the ride and saying, no pun intended there, Callaway Park rides? It's multiple. But how often am I just going through life bringing Jesus along for the ride rather than saying, God, I'm a follower of you. I want to follow you. I want to be open to everything you have for me. In fact, I want to look for the things you have for me, that your word will say that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, that God, now, it doesn't mean that we can't go to Callaway Park and have fun, but what's our mindset as we think about this? Friends, we need to be a people who, as we say we are followers of Jesus, we need to be a people who are really following Jesus, not just bringing along Jesus for the ride in our lives. Now, again, I'm not saying this is what the disciples were doing. They were the fishermen. They brought Jesus on the boat, all of that. But it was something that just really stood out to me, and hopefully for us it can be an encouragement as we say, like, maybe I need to rethink how I'm doing some things. But whatever the disciples were thinking or feeling, the disciples took Jesus with them on the boat for that evening. And then came the winds, the rain, and the waves. Verse 37 says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, I looked up the word squall because I thought, that's a word I don't know. It sounds like a boat word. Stern or ports or whatever, all those kind of words. I don't know what they mean. But I thought, that's a weird word. Let's look it up and see what it means. And as best as I can discern, based on what the best information Google had, a squall is, it's like a storm when you're on the water, but it's like multiple storms. Like a storm comes, and just when you think it's ending, there's another storm system that moves through. And just as that one ends, another storm system moves through. And just as that one seems to be coming to an end, another storm system moves through. That it's like a series of successive storms in a row. The whole event is called a squall, but it's like one storm system after another, after another, after another. So as they head out onto the boat into this lake, they run into a series of storms that are happening over and over and over again. And we see that the boat is beginning to fill with water. Now, the fact that the boat is beginning to fill with water tells us that the storm had been going on for a while. Because no matter how much or how harsh the storm is in progression, it may come on quickly, but you don't go from perfectly dry boat to boat sinking full of water in seconds. The disciples, they're a part of this, and they know how to deal with the storm. And so they're bailing the boat out. They're doing all the things that they know how to do. It wasn't just the first gust of wind or the first wave, and the boat started to sink. As we've talked about a few times over the last couple weeks and this week, many of the disciples were fishermen. They were seasoned fishermen. Some of them had lived and worked on this very lake. They had dealt with storms on this very lake. And so as the first storm rolled in, did they think to themselves, we can handle this? We know what we're doing. That Peter and Andrew and James and John, who worked and lived on this lake, and they were even some of the most prominent disciples. And they said, guys, it's fine. We know what we're doing. Did they think to themselves, like we can often, oh, I got this. I know how to handle this. This is no problem. Did they think like we do at times, that even though we say we trust in Jesus, We think and act and believe that it's really up to us. That if we're going to go through this, I'm going to pray, but then I better get to work. Because I can say that I'm trusting in God, but if I'm really going to see something tangible, that's up to me. That if I'm going to make it through this, it's not really, truly, honestly, in my heart of hearts, I'll say it's because of God, but really, I just know I have to get to work. But finally, as the boat continues to take on water, and they're taking on more water, and the wind isn't stopping, and the rain isn't stopping, and the lightning continues to strike, and the thunder continues to boom, and the waves continue to crash all around them. And just when they think the storm is coming to an end, another one comes. And just when they think they've made it through to the end of that storm, another storm comes. And just when they think they've made it through to the end of that storm, another one comes. All the while, the boat is sinking, and they're doing everything they can to get the water out. They're fighting against the wind and the waves. They're fighting, and they're fighting, and they're continuing to lose the fight. And the disciples realize that their skills and years of experience are no match for the storm. And so they call on Jesus. In verse 38, it says that while Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion, the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus sleeping on the boat. And we're going to talk about what the disciples had to say to him. But this week, I want to just pause on the idea that they finally go get Jesus. They finally decide to get Jesus' help. See, they didn't go get Jesus until their lives were in danger. It seemed as if they first tried to fight the storms themselves. That they first, apart from Jesus, said, "I'm going to deal with this. I can handle it. I've got it. We're smart. We're trained for this. We know how to handle this. I've got it. We've got it. We can do this. We don't need Jesus." And they fought and they fought and they fought and they fought until finally, when all else failed and they were afraid they were going to die, they finally went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm dying, that we're dying?" Maybe they were trying to be the heroes of their own story, that when Jesus finally came up, they would be able to say, "Jesus, have we got a story for you? Guess what we did without you." Maybe they were thinking that they needed to handle it themselves. That they said, well, Jesus is down there. Maybe he wants us to handle this without him. Maybe he needs us. Maybe he's trying to teach us how to be self-sufficient without him. Or maybe they were not so sure how Jesus would be able to help them. Maybe they saw Jesus as a great teacher. Maybe they knew that Jesus was a carpenter's son. But he wasn't a fisherman. He didn't live and work on a lake. He's not a boat guy. Maybe we don't need to go get Jesus because maybe Jesus can't help us. And how often have we maybe had this kind of thinking? Where we think to ourselves, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to get the victory in this. I'm not gonna ask for Jesus' help, because wouldn't it be awesome if I was able to say, "Look what I did"? Or maybe we think to ourselves, maybe God's trying to teach me something in all of this. Maybe God's trying to teach me how to be non-reliant on him. Maybe God's not doing anything because he wants me to learn what life's like without him there. Or maybe sometimes we think to ourselves, I don't know if God can really help me with this. Is God really equipped? Is Jesus really equipped to help me in this modern world with my modern problems? Does Jesus really know what I'm going through? Does he really understand what I'm facing? I can't take this to God because I don't think he'll get it. I can't take this to God because I don't think he's really able to help me with this. But I want to stop for a moment and just consider our response to the storms we face. In your life, as you face storms, what's our instinctive reaction? Is it to go to God first? When something happens and we say, you know, I'm going to go to God with this. Or is he our last resort? That is he our, when all else fails, when I've tried everything I know and I don't know what else to try, okay, let's go to God. Or is he an afterthought? Are we so accustomed to relying on our own resources, on our own connections, on our own experience, on our own skills, on our own money, on our own influence, that sometimes we sail along through life thinking to ourselves, I got this. I got it. It's no problem. Then do we wait till the ship is sinking, till there's no hope left, to turn to Jesus, and finally, out of frustration, Jesus, don't you care that I'm dying here? Do we turn to God first, or do we wait until the boat is sinking and we turn to God and say, don't you care that my boat is sinking? See, the storms, they reveal our insufficiency. Nothing shows our insufficiency more than moments where we're insufficient. Nothing shows our need for help more than moments when we need help. Nothing shows our need for Jesus more than when we have no other place to turn than Jesus. Nothing shows our need for a generator, like when the power goes out in the whole neighborhood. Nothing shows us our insufficiency more than when we discover we're insufficient. The storms reveal that we need Jesus, not as a tag along in the boat, not as just somebody who's come along that we've told just be good, not as somebody who we can just turn to in a last minute and say, oh, things have gone all apart, I guess I better go find Jesus. But the storms in life reveal that we need to go to Jesus first. At that moment, when the waves threaten to engulf us, when the storms of our lives are so big and so strong and so powerful that we realize that we can't do this on our own, that everything we thought we knew, we don't know as well as we thought, that everything we thought we had built in our lives that would keep us safe and secure, as it all begins to crumble, and we realize we can't cling to our degrees, we can't cling to our experience, we can't cling to our resources, we can't cling to our bank accounts, we can only cling to Jesus. Now, I think that the best way that we can close off our time today is with us taking a moment to respond to this. Because the sermon that I could preach this morning, it would have the potential for you to leave discouraged. Because sometimes there's nothing more discouraging than to be like, I've been fighting and fighting and fighting, and I went to church and they just told me I'm doing it all wrong. That's not what I want to leave you with. I don't want you to be like, so you're exhausted. Guess what? You're exhausted because you're a failure. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again soon. My heart is not to leave us in a place where we're just told what we're not supposed to do. But Jesus has this amazing invitation to us as people. Jesus, when we're in these moments, when we're fighting and we're fighting and we're fighting and the storms just keep coming and we're fighting and we're doing everything we can and we're getting worn out and we're getting tired and we're getting beaten down and we're getting discouraged and we're getting worried that nothing's ever going to change, or maybe we've even come to the place where we're getting worried that the storms are going to win and we're going to die, and we say, Jesus, don't you care? There's this amazing invitation that Jesus extends to you and to me, where he will say to each one of us, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened. That he will say, in the midst of your life, in the midst of your fight, in the midst of your exhaustion, even though the reason why we may have found ourselves there is because we're not doing all the things we're supposed to do, that we've fallen into the trap that the disciples fell into. We've fallen into the trap that every one of us falls into, where we say, I can do this on my own. I can do this. Even though we end up in these places because that's the decision we've made, Jesus doesn't say, get your stuff together and then come talk to me. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'm going to give you the best lecture you've ever gotten in your life. No, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Maybe the story that your life is telling right now feels an awful lot like the experience of the disciples on that boat, where it just seems to be one storm after another, after another, after another, after another. And you just keep fighting, and you finally make it through to the end of one storm. And thank God, oh, here we go again. And another storm rolls in, and another storm rolls in, and you're getting beaten down, and you're getting worn out, and you can't keep bailing water. And you're looking around, and you're trying, and you're doing everything you can, and your boat is just sinking. And you're trying, and you're doing your best. And God says, in that moment, come to me and I'll give you rest. Next week, we're going to talk about how the disciples come to Jesus and say, don't you care? And we're going to see this incredible picture of the profound care and the profound power of Jesus Christ. But friends, we don't have to wait for next week. The power of Jesus is at work in our lives right now. And we can take the step that the disciples took, and we can take it sooner, and we can come, and we can get Jesus, and we can say, I need to turn the storms of my life over to you. I need to stop fighting, and I need your power at work in my life. And so this afternoon, if that's you this morning, if you are just exhausted, if you're just worn out, if you've tried everything that you know how to do, and you don't know how to keep trying, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. We believe that the voice of God who spoke to the storm that the disciples were in can speak to your life today. We're going to pray together in just a moment. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to extend an opportunity to pray with you. But if that's you this morning, I'm going to invite us to take a moment to respond, because I think there's an importance where we can actually physically, as people, say, God, I need your help. That it's one thing for me to just pray and trust that God will be at work in your life, but I want to be able to pray for you this morning. And so if you're comfortable and if you're able with this, I'm going to invite all of us to close our eyes and bow our heads just for a moment, not long. But if that's you this morning, and if you would, this afternoon, and if that's you, and you would say, I'm so tired, and I just need God. If that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you just to raise your hand where you're sitting. It's not so that anyone can see it. It's not so that I can see it. Well, it is sort of so I can see it, because I want to pray for you. But really, it's just a gesture before the Lord for us to be willing to say, like, God, I need you. And so once you've raised your hand, you can put it back down. Once you feel like the Lord has seen your hand, you can put your hand back down. And we're going to pray together in just a moment, because the storms of life, they come and they go. And the more that we try to fight them, the more that we try to do it ourselves, the more exhausted we're going to be. And the next storm, when it comes, is going to hit harder and harder and harder. And so we as people need to come to Jesus and say, God, I need the rest you've promised. And so if that's you, one last opportunity just to raise your hand. And if you don't, that's okay. If that's too far for you, that's okay. But we're going to pray together. And so, God, we thank you that when we've come exhausted and worn out, God, I thank you that we come to you and you give us the promise of rest. And so, God, I pray for each one here, each one who said, God, I'm fighting, and I'm fighting, and I'm fighting, and I'm trying, and the storms, they just keep coming, and it never gets easier, and it's getting harder, and God, I'm getting exhausted, and I look around, and my boat is sinking. God, don't you care that I'm dying? God, I thank you that we can come to you together in this moment. And God, we find a heavenly Father who cares deeply and intimately for each one of us. And so, God, we come to you in this moment, and we are camping and trusting and believing in the promise of your word, that when you said, come to me when you're weary and heavy burdened, come to me when you're worn out and exhausted, come to me when you're burnt out and when you have nothing left, that your promise would be, and God, we are trusting and we are believing that your Holy Spirit will be at work in us. God, we are praying that you would bring us rest. God, for those who are fighting, God, would you bring them rest? For those who are fighting, God, would you bring them peace? And God, for those who are fighting, for those who have been fighting, for those who have fought and fought and fought and only have found those things getting worse and worse, and they're sinking and they're afraid of dying, God, for those people in this moment, God, would you bring them victory? In the name of Jesus, we pray for victory. God, we are so thankful that we aren't tasked with doing this on our own. And yet, God, we recognize and we come before you recognizing that all too often, even though we're not tasked with doing it on our own, God, we recognize that far too often we do. And so, God, I pray that in this moment, God, would you release us from the weight of doing it all on our own. Would you release us from the weight of fighting the fights? And God, would you bring us peace? Would you speak to the storms in our lives? Would you bring stillness and calmness? God, would you give us rest? God, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would be able to stop the fight, that we would be able to stop trying to do it ourselves, and that we would be able to look to you and see not us be overcome by the storm, but the storm be overcome by you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I know
someone who knows what I'm up against. Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go. So I'm not afraid of what's ahead.